Highbridge Audio presents Sleepyhead by Mark Billingham. Read by Simon Preble. Original material, copyright 2001, Mark Billingham. Recorded by arrangement with Atlantic Monthly Press, a division of Grove Atlantic, Inc. Recording copyright 2013, Highbridge Company. Prologue. Roger Thomas, FRC Pathology. To Dr. Angela Wilson, HM Coroner, Southwark, 26th June 2000. Dear Angela, following our recent telephone conversation, I write to summarise certain concerns which you might like to include as an addendum to my post-mortem report, PM2698-RT, on Miss Susan Carlish, a 26-year-old stroke victim discovered at home on the 15th of June. The PM was performed at St. Thomas's Hospital on the 17th of June. The deceased died as a result of a brainstem infarction due to basilar artery occlusion from what would appear to be spontaneous vertebral artery dissection. Examination being 12 hours post-mortem, I was unable to test for protein C and protein S deficiency. This aside, and taking into consideration that Ms. Carlish was an occasional smoker, there would still appear to be an absence of conventional risk factors for stroke. I also discovered some minor neck trauma with ligamentous damage at C1 and C2 vertebral level, though this would not be inconsistent with some previous whiplash or sporting injury. Traces of a benzodiazepine were discovered in the blood. Inquiries have produced a prescription for Valium made out to Ms. Garlish's flatmate 18 months ago. While I remain in no doubt as to the cause of death and concede that all police inquiries have drawn a blank, I am consulting a number of colleagues and copying this letter to all pathology departments and coroner's courts in the Greater London area. I would be interested to confer with anyone who may have dealt with the body of a stroke victim, probable female, 20 to 30, displaying any or all of the following peculiarities. Absence of conventional risk factors. Torn ligaments in neck. Benzodiazepines in the bloodstream. If you wish to discuss my findings with a view perhaps to a second post-mortem examination, I would of course be delighted to chat with you further. Yours sincerely, Dr. Roger Thomas, FRC Pathology, Consultant Pathologist. A postscript. The condition of the body, which honked like a pair of freshly scrubbed wellies, was, as I told you, of no concern to the authorities and delighted the morticians. But it was, to say the least, a little disconcerting.
Part 1. The Procedure.
Wake up, sleepyhead. And lights and voices and a mask and sweet fresh oxygen in my nostrils. And before? Me and the girls are linking arms to belt out I Will Survive and scare the shit out of every white sock-wearing Camberwell Casanova in the club. And now I'm dancing on my own. At a cash point, for God's sake. Unfeasibly pissed. Top night. And I'm struggling to get the key in the door. And there's a man in a car with a bottle of champagne. What's he celebrating? One more can't hurt on top of a bucket full of tequila. We're in the kitchen. I can smell some sort of soap. And something else. Something desperate. And the man is behind me. I'm kneeling. If he wasn't holding me up, I'd flop onto the floor. Am I that far gone? And his hands are on my head and on my neck. He's very gentle, telling me not to worry. And nothing.
1. Thorne hated the idea of coppers being hardened. A hardened copper was useless, like hardened paint. He was just resigned. To a down and out with a fractured skull and the word scum carved into his chest. To half a dozen girl guides decapitated courtesy of a drunken bus driver and a low bridge. And the harder stuff. Resigned to watching the eyes of a woman who'd lost her son glaze over as she gnaws her bottom lip and reaches absently for the kettle.